When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
At Maximum Mediocrity, people say things like,
I don't dress like this on the regular basis. This isn't my, you know, pooping uniform. This is not
And they also say things like,
The nurses are usually either angels of mercy or whores.
Every episode is a new experience where you get to know people that aren't famous but should be.
Why am I facing Floyd Mayweather in the what?
My co-host Morgan and I track down the people you didn't know you needed to hear from.
It's like hot sex in a mug.
We are the Maximum Mediocrity Podcast, and we are on all major podcasting platforms. We'll be waiting for you. Well, let's party!
Hey, Dylan.
Hey, Matt.
So, let me tell you a little story.
Yeah, I want to hear it.
So, the year was, I guess, 2010-ish. That seems to make sense.
Yeah.
And
let me tell you about that. The year I graduated high school.
Oh, Jesus Christ. I was 2 years out of college, and the world had gone head over heels for a little musical show called Glee.
Glee!
The show was so popular that halfway through the first season, when they took a season break, they released those 13 episodes on DVD so that people could get caught up before the second half of the first season.
I bought that DVD the day it dropped.
And I asked my friend, who was really into Glee, if I could borrow her DVD.
Yeah.
And over 3 nights, I watched that DVD. And I gave it back to her, and she said, so are you going to come over on Monday nights and watch Glee with me? And I said, no, thank you. I've had my fill of Glee.
Dude, which is so fucking funny, because there is some wild shit you've shown me that I would be like,
no,
yeah, Matt would be into this.
Yeah, I just, for whatever reason, for a very long time, for me, it was like, the bottom of the barrel to me was like Big Bang Theory, and then like a couple notches above it was Glee.
That's fucking funny.
So you picked Glee, and I was like, all right, let's do this. Let's do this. So I went in with somewhat of an open mind.
Okay.
And thinking, man, I hope this changes my opinion. And
I'm assuming it didn't.
Well, I mean, I'm not going to watch Glee. If that's your question, the answer
is
still
no.
Well,
the thing is, like, I'm not either. And I'll get into my history with the show either, but as well. But it's not like I finished this going, God damn, let's start this motherfucking ride from the beginning. Like, it's not like,
I think I liked it the least at the start. Because the first note that I wrote was, what's the opposite of charmed? Because that's what I'm feeling during this most wonderful day of the year cover.
Okay, all right.
Like, so, like, I was just like, I don't know what I'm feeling, but I'm not digging this. It's there's something about the show Glee and the way that they sing songs where, because I had the first Glee soundtrack, because there was a couple covers that I really, really liked that first go around. And I think that there's this thing with Glee where when it's like two people singing, right? Like the Defying Gravity to me is like incredible, right? Like their version of Defying Gravity, heartbreaking and beautiful. There's something about when all of them are singing at once that almost sounds like, and it probably isn't. I can tell that they're all talented singers. But there's something about,
like,
it sounds like robots. It sounds like bad auto-tune. And that's what I felt the entire time I was listening to Most Wonderful Day of the Year.
Yeah.
Was like, this sounds so manufactured and fake. Like it,
yeah.
It felt like soulless. And as I watched, I, at some point, I literally wrote down the note of, like, the community episode of, like, it just, the community episode hits even harder now that I've watched a Glee Christmas episode, because all I could think of
was
the community Glee episode, because they are depicted as a creepy ass cult in this show.
Mm-hmm. So
I wouldn't want to be in the Glee Club either. They seem real weird, and I'm a motherfucker who loves a good musical number.
Yeah. Like, so my, let's be real here. Glee came out at a time where I was the target demographic.
Of course, yeah.
Like it came out. This was May 2009, so I was going in my junior year of high. I was ending my junior year of high school, and I was a theater kid. And not only was I a theater kid, I also played football in the fall. So I'm like, okay. Oh hell, there's this fucking show about this. And I watched the preview that they did. Remember when shows used to do this? Do they still do it now? Yeah,
they would do like a one episode premiere after like some big event.
Yeah.
And then it would be like months or weeks later the next episode.
Yeah. So that happened and I loved it. I absolutely loved that first episode. I was like, this is for me. The jokes are dumb as shit. Like they're goofy as hell. And I feel like at least in the first season, they were in on the joke. I felt like they were in on the joke, especially like with Jane Lynch's involvement and whatnot.
Yeah, we're going to have to get into Jane Lynch, because Jane Lynch's subplot in this episode actually made me angry, and not because it was supposed to, but just because I was like, this is absurd to levels. But we'll get there.
But I feel like the first season they were in on the joke. I feel like they're still in on the joke here, but I think they're really good at like playing to that audience that doesn't know that they're in on the joke of how fucking dumb and stupid this is.
So let me ask you a question. Go for it. Because I feel like this is like the first major Ryan Murphy hit, right? Like
this was before American Horror Story.
Yeah, this right? like put him on the map basically.
Yeah.
And I feel like there's been enough Ryan Murphy shows at this point.
Nip Tuck.
Oh, Nip Tuck barely even registers in my brain because I feel like that was such a niche show where this was like a global phenomenon.
Okay.
I feel like after this, everything that he did that had Ryan Murphy
has
attached
been
to it.
Ryan Murphy's. Like,
yeah, whatever. Exactly. Like, yeah, Nip Tuck was definitely the show that put him on the map, but I think this was the show that like made him a household name in a much bigger way. But like, does this show, as far as, I don't know, like, I feel like everyone that I know has told me that Glee definitely was, like, losing steam with every season.
Yeah.
You could say 100%. The same thing with American Horror Story. Like, do you feel like Ryan Murphy, I always used to say that Ryan Murphy is a guy who does not know how to end his stories. Like, he's good at getting the setup going. And that's even in individual seasons of American Horror Story. There's, like, maybe two seasons that I feel like end it as strongly as it started. Like, the man does not know how to end a story.
No. I feel like, okay, so I want to preface this with, this was a show that what you were describing to about you and your friend, I did that with a friend. Like, every Monday, I would go over her house, and we would sit there and watch Glee and have, like, dinner and shit like that.
Because it's very much a serialized show, because I was like, what the fuck is happening? There was a lot of loose ends I had to kind of, like, check the Wikipedia to fill in the blanks for me.
Yeah. So we would watch it every single Monday, for at least for that first season. I bought the songs when they came out, because this was when iTunes was big, before Apple Music, so you had to pay for each song. I even bought the first season like on my iPod to watch it and shit. So I do have some form of nostalgia goggles as I watch it, at least like some of the situations that are going on in the show. But this show, I feel like, is a solid 3-season show.
Okay.
This would be now
that went
I'm not
six
saying,
or seven seasons,
exactly.
right? Like,
now, I'm not saying, like, the first 3 seasons are great. What I'm saying is if they took this story and just mashed it into 3 seasons, because I thought I liked the first season, and it gets to the end, you're cheering on this glee club and they lose.
Yeah.
Like they lose and you're like, okay, cool. And then by the second season, they're adding in new members and we're taking focus away from like all the people that we had already met and stuff like that. It just gets real weird and I don't know what the fuck's going on.
It just feels like...
But it does
like...
lose the plot. It loses the plot.
Well, you know, here's
quickly.
What I'm going to say.
Yeah.
Here's what I'm going to say about Glee.
It didn't have a plot to begin with.
No. I was going to say, this feels like... This is a rough sentence to say because quiet on set is now a thing that exists in the world. But this feels like a Dan Snyder show. Like, yeah. The way that it's depicting high school and it, like, this... I feel like you could take half of the plot lines of this show and put it in like iCarly and Victorious and it would actually make more sense.
Yeah.
In those like kind of more fantastical worlds.
Yeah.
Than it makes sense as a primetime show and it's, on television.
So
like,
it's also weird because some of the situation it's fucking like wild. There's a creator out there. Are you familiar with YouTube creator Billiam?
I've heard the name Billiam for sure.
So
yeah.
Billiam did, I think it's like a 2-episode recap of the first season of Glee. And I highly recommend, as someone who does enjoy Quentin reviews as you do, I think you would like this as well. Highly recommend, because it does get into some of those weird situations. The whole first season, Will Schuster's married. And
I remember that.
Yeah, and him and his wife agreed to try to have a baby. But he keeps leaving her to go hang out with this fucking glee club.
Yeah.
And that's kind of how everything is kind of wrapped up. You're just watching these strange situations of how people wouldn't actually act this way. For example, Quinn, who was Finn's original boyfriend, or original girlfriend, is pregnant in the first season. And Finn thinks that he's the father, even though they never had sex.
Well, that's what I was going to say. Like we've got this cheerleader who's got to be a senior or junior max, who still very much believes in Santa.
Oh, Brittany, yeah.
To the point that she asked Santa to make her disabled boyfriend have the ability to walk. And I was like, I literally wrote in all caps, like, what is this show? But if that was an episode of Victorious, I'd be like, okay, that makes sense because these are like middle schoolers who are dumb.
You're like, these are adults watching the show.
Yeah, like I'm just like, what is happening? And that was like the thing that made me so angry with the Jane Lynch plot.
Yeah.
Was I was like, first of all, like, and maybe I'm totally wrong, but you're a teacher here. If a teacher fraudulently they'd be gone. They would be so fired so
Dude,
quick.
There are so many situations in this show where teachers would have gotten fired. Again, none of these people would still have a job by the end of the first season. I just want that to be clear.
Here's a note that I wrote that I had to laugh at. It's because the Jane Lynch thing turns into the Grinch, basically. She literally paints her face green.
Can we start from the beginning? Like, I do want to take this.
Sure. Okay, so I do have to ask one. This is not a legitimate question, actually. But I know the slushy thing was a big... I mean, that was like what everyone connected with Glee, was people splashing slushies on people. And to me, it made very little sense. Like, I'm just like, why would a bully spend that much money? Yeah, like, it's just like...
The Glee Club are all the worst parts of what you believe the drama club to be.
Yeah,
And hanging around the drama club, it's not far off.
Now there was a funny joke that made me laugh in the beginning of the episode. They walk into the Glee Club. They have a tree that they've built out of just like basically just rejected stuff. Like it was like a tree that fell off of a truck.
Yeah.
And then like the ornament, she says like my neighbor finally offed his wife and the police left the door open, so I went in there and grabbed some ornaments for it. Like it's such a dark line.
Oh,
that
there's
I was like,
some
okay,
weird
that's pretty funny.
Shit throughout the whole show, like. Listen, I watched this show way differently when I was younger because I viewed it as what I believe most people viewed this show. Like, oh, they're singing their songs and this is really fucking cool. And
you were like, this is exactly how high school
They've
nailed
it. Exactly,
You know how the teachers are always trying to get down on the kids and ruin their lives?
but I hung out with like the drama club kids, and we would like break out into weird song like this, but not like overproduced and shit. But you know what I mean. But I also like I start to understand like how other people saw us. Not that they're dumping slushies on us, but they are like, what the fuck is up with these weird guys over here that are constantly singing and hanging out shit like that. But now I watch the show for moments like that. I watch the show for these conversations where you're like, what the fuck is going on in this show? And I'm just cackling. Like, this is great. I love how absurd this entire concept is. I did enjoy the show a lot as a kid, though. At least the first two seasons.
No, and listen,
Christmas album got a lot of play when it first came out.
Well, I assume that you picked it specific when they started singing Last Christmas. I thought this is why he picked this.
Oh, no, 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 no. I think this is an awful cover of Last Christmas.
It's not great. I think I wrote down what my favorite cover was.
Remember that weird conspiracy that Lea Michele can't read?
Yes.
That's so weird.
I can tell you that I don't think she can act. But
oh, yeah.
But
I mean,
no,
she has multiple Tonys and we're sitting here like...
No, she can sing. She can sing. There's a reason why her filmography career is Glee and New Year's Eve and nothing else. So Kurt doesn't go to the school anymore.
Not anymore. No. He used to.
Yeah, no, I remember when he used to because he auditioned against her for Defying Gravity.
Yeah, and he was constantly getting bullied, so he left schools. I don't remember like what the reason was.
That scene seems so pointless. Like, it was a good cover of Baby, It's Cold Outside, but I was like, this has nothing to do with the rest of this episode.
Do you remember who plays Kurt's dad?
No.
It's, oh my God, what's his name? Hold on. It's, Mike
O'Malley
from Guts.
Okay. Oh, nice.
Yeah. Mike O'Malley plays awesome. Fucking Kurt's dad.
But yeah, like, that scene came up, and I was just like... Oh, I wonder if Kurt's going to do something to save Christmas. Nope, never heard from again the rest of the 45 minutes of the show. It was literally
correct.
Just like they were like, man, we got to make sure the audience knows what Kurt's up to in this episode.
and him and Darren Criss eventually get together. I don't remember when.
Well, kind of seemed obvious in that scene.
Well,
that
when they were singing together, of course. bro, I don't fucking know, man. This show's wild, especially like... There's one point when the whole Glee Club is sitting and Will's talking to them, and I just look over at Teddy and I'm like, at least three of them are dead now. Like, I'm like,
yeah.
This show has a wild background, which doesn't fit the tone of the show. It's always like,
no.
You hear like Poltergeist. You're looking at that,
yeah.
You're like, oh, this movie
sense.
Series
yeah.
is cursed. And I'm like, well, yeah, they're doing like, dead people shit and stuff like that. Like, that makes sense.
Used real skeletons, all that.
Yeah.
Jazz. Yeah.
But you hear some of the stories, like, from not even behind the scenes, because I don't know if things were that bad behind the scenes on this show.
No.
But just, like, their own personal lives. Like, fuck the guy that played Puck. Like, just want to put that out
there. I don't know that story. I'll look into it myself.
Oh,
God.
He was caught with child porn.
Oh,
went
great.
To jail. Killed himself in jail.
Gotcha. Okay, yeah. Well, fuck Puck.
At Maximum Mediocrity, people say things like,
I don't dress like this on the regular basis. This isn't my, you know, pooping uniform. This is not.
And they also say things like,
The nurses are usually either angels of mercy or whores.
Every episode is a new experience where you get to know people that aren't famous but should be.
Why did my face seem Floyd Mayweather in the woods?
My co-host Morgan and I track down the people you didn't know you needed to hear from.
It's like hot sex in a mug.
We are the Maximum Mediocrity Podcast, and we are on all major podcasting platforms. We'll be waiting for you.
Hey, welcome to Unstable Topics, a fast-paced, jam-packed, unhinged bestie podcast filled with facts, reacts, and made-up games in between.
We're your hosts, Sarah
and Maggie.
And we're excited for you to join our Best Friend Hangout, where we surprise one another with things we find interesting or hilarious just to see how the other will react.
Our friendship might be totally stable, but you never know what your bestie might throw your way to knock you off your game.
So come shake things up, learn something new, and laugh along with us. This is Unstable Topics.
There is a line that someone yells that I'm like, and I just wrote exactly, which is they're like, we're going to raise money by going caroling. And someone's like, who goes caroling with a band? And it's like, exactly. I understand they're part of the Glee Club. Get them the fuck out of here. Like, it's not what caroling is, an a cappella sport.
Yeah. Like, yeah. So like, let's talk about Britney's storyline.
Please. Because like,
I feel like you're like, we're so like, off. The show is so nonsensical, it's hard to talk about without going, you believe that shit, think about this shit. Like,
yeah, well, like, here's something that I wrote. This is the last note that I wrote.
Yeah.
And I wrote, this may be the only time where the, like, Santa got the gift to happen twist had no effect on me whatsoever. Like, I was just like, what is this show? Like, I was so just unamused, unaffected by it. Like, I just, maybe my heart was cold at that point. I don't know. But yes, this Britney subplot, they all go to the mall to sit on Santa's lap to help her continue to have her Christmas spirit.
Yeah.
They pay a teacher to break into Britney's
this
house,
beast.
Which the parents are like, yes, we very much want our daughter to go to college still believing in Christmas, in Santa Claus next year. Like, it's just, it's chaos. This is chaos. Okay, so what do you want to say about the Britney subplot?
No. I think it's, do you know Britney's full name?
No.
In the show?
No.
Britney S. Pierce.
They were this close, Pierce.
Her name is Britney Spears in the show, and they dedicate an entire episode to Britney's songs.
So they're making fun of Britney now. Okay.
No, I don't think that's what it was, but no. It's just fucking funny to me. This show is absolutely insane.
I think my problem with Ryan Murphy's work in general, and this has continued all the way into like watching shows that he's done, like the American True Crime Stories.
Which I had no idea was a thing until we were sitting down right now.
Yeah. His stuff is just like so on the nose. Like it's one of that stuff. Like, I remember like the one where it was like the people versus OJ Simpson. There's like literally a line where someone's like, don't worry, Juice, this will never be the thing that people remember you for. Like, it's just like, like, he just like everything has to just be like beaten over your head with it. Like, it's not enough to just name a character Britney and be like, she's going to be kind of inspired by Britney Spears. Like, no, we have to name her Britney S. Pierce so that it's as on point as possible, that there's no discussion for debate that this character is inspired by Britney Spears. Like, it's, I think my problem is that
it would, do you know how many times you've started a statement this episode with,
I think my problem is, yeah, I got a lot of problems, man. It's just like, that's something that would be like charming in a bad low budget movie.
Yeah.
That like, but it's like, I don't know, man. You guys are getting paid a shit ton of money for this like hacky ass writing, and it makes me mad.
That's like, so, it's so weird to me how like a situation like that can make you mad.
Yeah,
but then like the same situation happens in like a bad 80s horror movie, and you're like,
it's totally different though.
This shit up.
Here's my example.
Okay.
If Troma had a pop star named Britney S. Pierce, I was like, well, yeah, this is what I expect Troma to come up with. Like, my expectations of what Troma is going to produce and Troma's sense of humor is like in the fucking basement. You know what I mean? Like, and the charm is like, how like little effort can they put into the joke?
Yeah.
Because they're getting paid like $3 in a cheese sandwich.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, when they're getting paid millions of dollars, you better have a better naming convention than Britney S. Pierce. Like, that made me so mad. I wish I didn't know that information.
I'm so sorry. I didn't expect. I thought we were gonna get like a little chuckle out of that.
No, I'm on a rampage now. No, so we gotta talk.
You,
let's
yeah,
talk about
you
the
texted
Jane Lynch.
Me. I'm not gonna tell you. I'm not gonna say what you actually texted me.
Yeah.
But I will say that you are not a fan of the Finn character.
Well, it was not so much about the Finn character. It was about, you know how I feel when anybody comes at fucking artificial trees.
Yeah.
And he's just like, oh, these artificial trees, they're dead and lifeless. It's not Christmas with one of these. I need the smell of pine all up in my nostrils.
Yeah.
Like, and I'm
to
just like,
you
know what?
To the point where Rachel wears that hell. Fucking pine air freshener.
Yeah. Yeah. Rachel's a pick me if I've ever seen one. And I guess she cheated on him with Puck. That's what Wikipedia informed me, because they never say it in this episode. I guess you had to have seen previous episodes.
Well, he does say at some point, I've had two girlfriends and they both cheated on me. So,
well, I got that, but I didn't. I was like, okay, it says in Wikipedia that she cheated on him with Puck.
So, yeah, let's jump in the way back as I give you some Glee history. Glee!
Glistery.
Glistery, as you will. Oh, God, that was the big thing, too, remember? It was this predated the Pitch Perfect acapella, like where you.
Oh yeah, no, it'd be like
everywhere.
Coming up this gleek.
Yeah, like, yeah. Dude, you remember they did a fucking reality show too?
Yeah.
God, this
show was
huge for a minute. There.
It was. That's what I'm saying. This thing was inescapable. There was a point. This was again. The year was 2010. Keep that in mind.
Yeah.
But I absolutely made. A political correctness bingo card for watching an episode of Glee, because yeah. I was just like, this show is just like trying to check off every box in every episode.
Yeah.
And it was a game to see when I watched those 13 episodes, I was trying to see if I could fill the entire bingo yeah. card.
There's
in
not
a single
no
viewing.
Like, there's no like rapping Santa, but yeah, you.
No, we're it's... no. Good shows have rapping Santas, and we'll get to that next week.
So the first season, there's like a will they, won't they between Finn and Rachel, if you remember.
Yes, that I remember
and
from
Quinn
those 13
episodes.
Quinn
was his girlfriend, but Quinn cheated on him with Puck and is pregnant
okay.
with Puck's kid.
Okay.
But she tells Finn that it's his kid, even though they never had sex, if I remember correctly. Like, I really don't believe that they did.
So Finn's dumb.
Yes,
got it.
Finn's
okay.
a fucking idiot. End of season one, I think there's finally like that will they, won't they, and they end up kissing Rachel and Finn, if I remember correctly. And then season two, he does something stupid, but I don't think he cheated on her or anything, but he ends up doing something, and then she ends up kissing Puck as well. So,
get it.
To which my... You stop talking to Puck.
Yeah.
Like, I don't care how good of a singer Puck is. I'm probably going to the Glee Club and being like, hey, I can't do this if he's here. So, like, you can either pick him or you can pick me. And that's cool. Like, if you want to pick him, cool. I don't know what that says about you moral code-wise. But, I'm not going to talk to him anymore. Because,
yeah.
Yes, these two girls did cheat on me with him. But also, he's supposed to be my best friend. And this happened twice. Which, if I had a nickel, I'd only have 10 cents. But it's weird that it happened twice.
That's a problem. Yeah, no. It's a real fool me once, fool me twice. Why would you still be friends with the person who your first girlfriend cheated on? Like, I just don't.
And they got pregnant. Like,
yeah, like, I just... That's bad... That's
yeah,
bad,
this is kind of a group of awful people that can sing mediocre to well.
Yeah,
like
that's what
this
it comes
is
down
just
to.
A group of terrible human beings. But again, they're high schoolers. They're really evil high schoolers. Hopefully, we will eventually get the college or the homecoming years or something. Like maybe
yeah.
we can see them. Off doing whatever the fuck they're doing, we can do like.
Well, like you said, half the cast is not here anymore. So
no, but I'm sure Leah Michelle's looking for shit. I don't know what she's doing right now.
I don't know. I was looking at her. Her wiki credits didn't show a lot going.
What are any of these people?
That's true. That's true.
Doing they're, right now. That's what
the
I
ones who are still on this side of the ground.
The ones that are still living. What are they doing right now? We're gonna do this. We're doing this live on the air, people.
Oh God, there's a lot of cast members. While you're looking that up, can I tell you my complaints about Jane Lynch and read my note?
Yeah, I always had a crush on Jaima Mays.
Okay. I thought you were about to say Jane Lynch.
No, Jaima Mays.
I was like, all right, weird reveal. So her Jane Lynch's subplot is that she
kind of looks like a sloth.
She
sorry, not Jane lied. Lynch.
she switched out the Secret Santa bucket to have just her name on every single slip,
yeah,
so that she could get all the gifts. And when she gets caught and the Glee Club takes the gifts back to donate to a children's shelter, she paints herself green and has her assistant, who I must stress has Down syndrome, which bothers me to no end that she's using her as a pawn
so
in all of
like
her.
One of there's an episode completely dedicated to that. And Sue has a sister with Down syndrome. So she keeps this girl like close to the vest to keep an eye on her. I don't know. It's weird, but it's also
she's using her for evil. I don't like it. But
hey,
they,
man, we love Max, the dog.
That is true. Max is great. But Max doesn't seem complacent in the evil. He's like, are you sure about this, Grinchy Poo? And the Grinch is like, shut up, Max, or I'm not gonna feed you.
It's true.
And it just goes into this like Grinch subplot where they're literally like recreating scenes from the Grinch. And I wrote the following note.
I can't wait.
I think I'd rather watch the Jim Carrey Grinch than this. At least it has Ben Folds, Busta Rhymes, and the Eels on the soundtrack.
Nope. You want to know why?
Better soundtrack.
You want to know
why? Saying better soundtrack.
Because
why?
This show, this episode was 40 minutes long. And
that
movie
is true.
Is approaching 2 hours. So
that is... Look, I don't want to watch either one of them, but I think I'd rather listen to the Jim Carrey Grinch soundtrack than the Glee Christmas soundtrack.
It's real creepy how close Will Schuster is with these kids, right?
Yeah, no, it's a bit off. Yeah.
Sorry, I'm on the Matthew Morrison part of my journey
I'm sure. Have fun with that. But yeah, that subplot, I was like, this is so dumb. This is so pointless. They do the whole, like, they do it. And again, it's like, if I was watching... I know it's weird, but if you had picked, I feel like if you had picked like Good Luck Charlie and this was a plot in an episode of Good Luck Charlie, I would have been like, fine, this is what my expectation is of a Nickelodeon kids show that people from the ages of like 8 to 14 watched. This being the plot of a show that like 30 and 40 year olds were obsessed with just feels insane to me. Like it's like I literally feel like Will Ferrell at the end of Zoolander, where I'm just like, am I taking crazy pills? Like it's so weird to me.
26.8 million viewers.
Yeah, that's insane. We have like 1/1,000,000th of that who listen to this show. We got like 26 people who are gonna hear this episode.
To those of you listening to us in December, though, Merry Christmas.
Hey, Merry Christmas, guys. That's going to be my other complaint.
Yeah.
If you're going to do a Christmas episode of a TV show, and the best you can come up with for your naming is a very insert the name of your show Christmas, don't even write the Christmas episode. You're telling me that they came up with throwing Glee in front of any word in history, and they couldn't find a Christmas pun with the word Glee to name this episode?
I became obsessed with the CD. Because the CD, the very Glee Christmas album came out around the airing of the first season. So I bought that CD and I did listen to the shit out of it. And then this episode came out that featured like a lot of those songs. So that
is the soundtrack better? Like, does the soundtrack have like a bunch of extra better songs?
No.
Okay.
I mean, but like that's me. I like it.
Okay.
But I'm not going to sit here and be like, God, Matt needs to listen to this shit.
What songs are on there that we didn't get?
Yeah.
We Need a Little Christmas, all right. Deck the Rooftop.
Yeah, that's a mashup.
Of Deck the Halls and Up on the Rooftop,
yeah,
I imagine.
Yeah, it's not great.
Merry Christmas, Darling. Oh, yeah, I do think they sang that in this one, yeah. Actually. Baby, It's Cold Outside, we got. It's the Most Wonderful Day of the Year, we got. Last Christmas, God Rest You Merry Gentlemen, I don't think we got. Oh, Christmas Tree, I don't think we got. Jingle Bells, I don't think we got. Katie Lang sings on You're a Mean One, Mr. Grinch. Okay. What the hell is happening? Like, all right. Well, Dylan, I mean, look, I'm sure that there's other Glee Christmas episodes, and those will be the other episodes of Glee I watch, but I cannot say that I've become a Gleek from this experience.
Oh my gosh. That was honestly my goal.
Number
here.
One goal.
Yeah, I was hoping that this was going to be the next Geekscape podcast. Actually,
It'd be the Geekscape
podcast.
Listen, Dylan, if you want to host the Geekscape podcast, I will happily produce that, but I will not participate.
Oh, dude, I wonder if any of our friends would be down to watch every episode of Glee.
Look, we can.
Dude,
we can, you
can't tell me that wouldn't be a great fucking listen.
Oh, it'd be an amazing listen. Listen, no one steal this idea or the name.
Yeah,
but in the meantime.
You can't even think
Dylan,
of an intro. Exit.
Dylan.
Yeah, go for
I'm it. A Gleek about you, at least.
Oh. I was going to say last Christmas I gave you my Gleek, but I don't want to end on that. keep that in.
Keeping all
in.
Of this. It's all staying.
No, yeah, keep that in. Have a very Gleek Christmas, everyone. whoa.
At Maximum Mediocrity, people say things like,
I don't dress like this on the regular basis. This isn't my, you know, pooping uniform. This is not.
And they also say things like,
The nurses are usually either angels of mercy or whores.
Every episode is a new experience where you get to know people that aren't famous but should be.
Why am I facing Floyd Mayweather in the what?
My co-host Morgan and I track down the people you didn't know you needed to hear from.
It's like hot sex in a mug.
We are the Maximum Mediocrity Podcast, and we are on all major podcasting platforms. We'll be waiting for you.
You're listening to the Geekscape Network.